Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever loved somebody the way God loves somebody? And He loves you.
Thank you for tuning in to There's Nothing New Under the Sun. This is yours truly, Pastor C. We're in the Sanctuary Studio in Forestville, Maryland. I'd like to wish everyone a happy Thursday. Truly, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall and we will rejoice and be glad in it. I believe I have on the line with me tonight my big sister, Sheila G. You on the line with us tonight?
Yes, I am.
Praise God. And my good friend and mentor, Dr. G, you with us tonight?
Yes, sir. We're here.
Praise God. And we thank God for another Thursday that we're able to get together and study the Word. So we're going to have a word of prayer, and then we're going to get right to it. Heavenly Father, it's in Jesus' name that we humbly bow and thank you for another privilege, another opportunity to get together and study your Word. And Father, we pray that you will bless us, that we will be able to study to show ourselves approved unto you, that we can be workmen that need not be ashamed, but rightly dividing your word of truth. Bless us, God, that we will be able to apply this word to our lives, share it with others. And as always, God, we pray that this will be done to your glory. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Dr. G, we're studying the second chapter of the book of Acts. For everyone listening in tonight, the second chapter of the book of Acts. It is, I call it the book of the Holy Ghost, where the awesome promise of God, promise of Jesus, that he would send us another comforter. And Jesus made that promise that if he would go, that he would not leave us comfortless, but he would send us another comforter. And the Comforter is the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost, which is the third part of the Trinity or the Triune God, the Spirit of God. And so this, which is so awesome, is the presence of God that's with all believers every day, all day. And this Spirit actually gives us the power as ordinary, we talked about this last Thursday, as ordinary people to accomplish extraordinary things. And that's what makes a difference in the believers' lives, is that just ordinary people like myself and like everyone else has the ability to experience the power of God in our lives because God's Spirit is present, is his presence is with us. And in this second chapter of Acts is actually where this Spirit came on the scene. Sheila G?
Amen. When you were talking about how the Holy Spirit takes ordinary people to do extraordinary things. I had someone give me a testimony on today that I work downtown, and you know how crazy those streets are with turning left and cars running through the way pedestrians walk. And there was a young lady, and we were talking about the Lord the day before, and she was walking in the crosswalk, and a car came running, rushing through, and she said all she said was Jesus, and she held her hands up because she knew the car was going to hit her, and she said something pushed her back to the point that she fell on her butt, and she knew that nothing but the Holy Spirit that moved her back like that, and she was sharing how when she shared that experience to certain people that they didn't get it. They just thought that maybe she just back, but she's like, no, this was the Holy Spirit. I did not move back. All I said was Jesus, and my body moved. And that's kind of how, if you study this book of Acts about the Holy Spirit, those things won't seem extraordinary to you because you know how the Holy Spirit can work.
Amen. And Dr. G, I find it one of the things that the church struggles with is getting people to understand the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. Too many times, and I hear you say it often, that people live off emotion, and that's not to say that we're not emotionless people, but when it comes to doing the work of the Lord, you have to rely on the Spirit. Dr. G, can you help us out with that?
Well, you're right. When you're dealing with individuals, any kind of people, especially folk in the church, you better be led by the Holy Spirit because you've got to deal with a whole lot of different attitudes and personalities. And if the Spirit doesn't guide you as to how to handle them and deal with them, you know, you find yourself, you know, you want to become a people pleaser. You know, you want to do the right things to people. But, you know, I was thinking about it this week that the only one that you need to please is God. And you better listen to the Holy Spirit tells you to go about that. Because while you're going in one direction to please one group, you're leaving another group out, and emotions will kick in quick. So you've got to be by the Holy Spirit when you're dealing with people. And that's in the church, even on the job. Holy Spirit just does things in a marvelous manner.
Amen. And it is, I think it was, and we'll get into this in the second chapter, I think it was unexpected what it would do. And I think even today, Sheila G., that the Holy Spirit does things that we're not expecting it to. And what we have to do is learn to expect the Holy Spirit to be able to do all things. And not take it for granted. I think sometimes we go through our day-to-day routine and we forget that the Spirit is with us. So let's go to the second chapter of Acts, and I want to look at verse 3. We covered this last week, but I want to pick up on 2nd chapter, verse 3. It says, and there appeared, this is Acts 2, verse 3, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as fire, and it sat upon each of them. And the key here is each of them. In other words, the Spirit is not respecter of person, but the Spirit is given to everyone that believes. So in other words, everyone has that believes that Jesus is Lord, that he's the Son of God, that he came to redeem man from their sin. God blesses them with the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. When Jesus was doing his earthly ministry, and we studied this in the book of Matthew, the Holy Spirit descended upon him. In other words, Jesus in the flesh had the ability to carry out the work and the plan of God because the Holy Spirit was with him. And that's what believers today, Sheila G., we really have to focus in and walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh, because the
right.
enemy will try to get you to operate in the flesh and not realize that you have the power of the Spirit with you right now. Everyone on this line and everyone all day long, even when we're tired, even when we're weak, has the presence and the power of God with them through the power of the Holy Spirit. It said it sat on each of them. In other words, wherever you are, the presence of the power of God is there with you.
Right. Now, I think what the issue with why we don't use it and tap into it is because to tap into it, you have to have faith. So too often, you're right, we have more faith in our emotions than what the Holy Spirit can do for us. So instead of being waiting on the Lord and being of good courage and asking and seeking the Holy Spirit and expecting to receive the Holy Spirit for direction, we react based off what our carnal mind and see, what we feel, what we touch, not recognizing that the Holy Spirit is with me always, but I have to tap into it. I have to call on it.
Right.
I have to call on Jesus. I have to say to the Lord, I'm confused. I don't understand this, but I'm not going to worry about it because, God, I know you've got it. But if I choose to worry about it instead of tapping into that Holy Spirit, then my flesh will overcome it. And I think that's where we fall short is, yes, the Spirit is there, but God gives us a choice. And too often we that choice of what we can see, touch, feel, and hear versus that Spirit within us that can guide us in the direction that we want it to go. So I think if anything we learn from this is to not only recognize that it's with us, but also have the faith, and that's what it takes to tap into it, because it's not something that you know other than just you know that you know, but it's not known based off what you see.
Amen. And that's so true. You have to have that faith. And, you know, in the last part of Matthew, the last book we studied, Jesus said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And he said, lo, I will be with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. And this is his promise being fulfilled, and he's going to be with us always. And if you look at verse 4, Acts 2, chapter 2, verse 4, it says, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. In other words, here is the earthly ministry of man. We saw the earthly ministry of Jesus, and now he gave instructions to his disciples. And here we see the empowering of the disciples, the church, the people of God to carry out the work of the church. And here it is. This is like the power source of the church to do the will of God. And it says, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. In other words, here they are being filled and then carrying out the word of God. In other words, their mission was, Dr. G, to not be selfish, but to be willing, yielded vessels, because they have the power of God, to do the work of God. And I think, Dr. G, that's another challenge of the church, is that we didn't come to do our will. We haven't been commanded to do our will, but we're commanded to do the will of God. And the Holy Spirit is there with us to help us to tame that flesh, because the flesh is a bad mother, shut your mouth. And if you allow the flesh to rise up, nobody will do the word of God, and we'll just be a bunch of fleshy people coming together claiming that we had church. And so the Holy Spirit is our discipline. The Holy Spirit is our guide. Our Holy Spirit is our power source to do the will of God. And if we want, like you said, Sheila G., to by faith do the will of God, we have to rely on the Holy Spirit. Dr. G., can you share with us on that?
Well, you know, you're right. And two things, I think. First of all, you and Sheila both hit on it. One of the key things is you've got to believe. We as individuals have got to believe in God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's a thing where we can't just take one or the other, but they come as a set. You take the Father, you take the Son, and you take the Holy Spirit. But the other part of that is that not enough folk have really drawn close enough to the Lord where they understand that the Holy Spirit is there. I mean, as the scripture was saying, you know, the Holy Spirit came and it descended upon each of them, and they spoke in their own languages. But we a lot of folk just are not as close to God as they need to be. And this is one of the reasons why they're still operating off of the flesh. Give you an example. You know, we took Jessica back to school on Tuesday, and while we were on the road, the Holy Spirit told me to look out for this lady. She had a Lexus SUV, and she was coming over into my lane. And I mean, the Spirit spoke, I saw, and I'm beeping the horn, and whatever girlfriend was doing, she still didn't get it until after I beeped more, and then we finally passed her, and then she waved her hand. Yeah, I know I was wrong, but that's the way the Holy Spirit is. And then to go along with that, you know, here I know you're getting ready to celebrate another anniversary, and it's only through the power of the Holy Spirit that we as pastors can sustain and endure through all that we have to go through. A lot of folks think that pastoring is easy. Not so.
Mm-hmm.
When you're dealing with church folk and you're dealing with the problems that come along, you know, it's only through the power of the Holy Spirit. And I can honestly say that, you know, I had to learn, I had to get to that point. And I think these last past year or so that the Lord had on me to the point where I stopped looking at the numbers and I began to understand that God works in his own way. And once I stopped looking at the numbers, then the Holy Spirit could begin to work in me. Now, it was working within the church. I just wasn't ready to accept it because if there weren't a certain number of folk, I would get upset. But now the Spirit has gotten me to the point where whatever numbers come or don't come, you know, we're still going to go on and give God the praise and the glory.
Amen.
So that the Holy Spirit will come, and it's got to work. You know, it's got to show you. It's got to make a believer out of each of us. And when it does, it will show us, it will direct us, it will lead us.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, even when we do wrong, it will convict us.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Amen, amen. That's powerful. And it's a thing where you have to know it for yourself, and that's the thing about ministry. You can't force ministry on people. You can only present the word of God, and that's what I love about ministry is you might not think that you're being effective.
Amen.
Someone has to water, someone has to plant, and someone has to water.
Right.
And basically, following Sheila G, following the plan of the Holy Spirit, we're planting and we're watering. And and later on in this chapter, we'll see. But God is the one that gives the increase.
Right.
In other words, God didn't ask us to give increase. He asked us to plant, and he asked us to water. And if we plant and we water, those people that were planting and were watering, we may never see them come to Christ. But because we are obedient to the Holy Spirit, to God's plan, our planting and our watering will give fruit later on down the road. And that's the thing about ministry. Sometimes you'll never see it, but because you've been faithful and because you've done what God has instructed, that planting and that watering will come to fruition. In other words, it won't come back to God void. And so it's an unselfish thing. Sheila G, I want to talk about this thing. unselfish thing. We have, as humans, have the ability to be some selfish folks.
Amen.
And it's in our DNA. Our DNA is that we can be self-persevering. We can be the ones where it's all about me. But
right.
The Spirit of God wants us to do something that's unselfish.
If you look at
the Word of God in verse 5, it talks about every nation under heaven.
Mm-hmm.
God is not selfish that he just wants one group of people to know him. He wants
mm-hmm.
every nation under heaven. Again, we go back to that great command in Matthew 28:19-20. He says, teach all nations.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, don't get to a place where it's just for me, it's just for this group of people, it's just for my clique. He said, but he wants you to teach all nations. So if you look at verse 5 in Acts 2, verse 5, it says, and there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. In other words, there was people from everywhere that
mm-hmm.
needed to hear this word. And so you can't pick and choose who you want to deliver this message to. The Holy Spirit is here to deliver the message to every nation. And so
right.
what happened here in verse 6, it says, now when this was abroad, the multitude came together, and they were confounded because that every man heard them speak in his own language. In other words, the Word of God met people where they were.
Yeah.
And this is the great teacher of the Holy Spirit, is that the Holy Spirit will meet you, the Word of God will meet you where you at. You don't
That's
have
right.
to be rich, poor, whatever your socioeconomic, whatever your background is, whether you're black, whether you're white, the Word of God will meet you where you at. That's how
That's
powerful
right.
the Word of God is. The Word of God is so powerful that it can change the most stoniest heart and soften the most brutal, selfish person. But the Word of God has to be presented. And that's the challenge of the church, is not to prejudge people that, oh, they can't be saved. Oh, they don't want to hear it. Oh, I'm not going to do this because they don't want to hear it. Oh, I'm just going to stay with my clique because nobody else wants to hear it. But
mm-hmm.
the Word of God can touch and reach anybody. And,
right.
and here in the opening book of the Holy Spirit, it shows that it's able to reach every nation under heaven, and every man is able to be met where they are by the Word of God. Sheila G.
Amen. As you were talking about that and expounding on that scripture, the thing that came to me was that's love. That's what love is. That's what that
yes.
agape love is. It means unconditional. I love you just as you are. I'll meet you where you are, whether you're rich, poor, black, white, whatever. I am God of love, and I love everyone. And that's what God wants us to do. That's why our lives, our Christianity should not be word of mouth. It should be how we behave. It should be how we
Amen.
Act. And if you're being holier than thou when you're holier than thou with your friends in church, but you're acting foolish when you're out in on your job or anything like that, that's not showing love. If you're in the church and there's certain church members that you like chitter chatter with and smile to, but you don't have that same smile for somebody else because they haven't
mm-hmm.
been there long, that's not love. God is love. We have to show love to everyone, and that's how you tap into that Holy Spirit, because then God recognizes you. It's kind of like as a parent, then you have multiple children.
Mm-hmm.
You have to meet each one of those children where they are. They all start out as babies, and like you said, they all start out selfish, wanting to eat,
mm-hmm.
eat, sleep, whatever, regardless of what they feel like. But as they grow, they develop their personalities, and you love each and every one of them in a certain way, but you love them based off who they are, not some cookie cutter, this is, okay, you're my child, so I'm going to love you just this way. God is like that. He loves us unconditionally. That agape love, he meets us where we are. And who are we to judge anybody else? Because we've all sinned and come short. And,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
whether you did this or I did that, there is no big sin or little sin. Sin is sin. And being saved is being saved. Accepting Christ is accepting Christ. It doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter if you're in a jail cell. It doesn't matter if you're in the house. It doesn't matter if you're in the middle of the street. If you accept Christ, he gives you that same love. And what is that love? It's not so much the things that you touch, see, or feel, but it's physically, but it's that peace in your heart. That's joy in your heart. It makes you want to serve. It makes you want to do for others. It gives you that calmness in the midst of the storm because you know that he is with you always. So at the end of the day, by him reaching us everywhere where we are, it is nothing but God's unconditional love, and we need to pass that on to others.
Amen. Amen. Glory to God. That is awesome. Thank you for sharing that. It's a thing where you have that peace in your heart. And that love, that the situations that you go to, when God meets you where you are, and you know that's the powerful thing about the Word of God, is that God knows what you're going through, and God will give you peace in the midst of your trial. Every day, all of us have challenges, and you know, challenges with your loved ones, and somebody can be screaming, running around the room right now. God knows what you're going through. I don't know who I'm speaking to right now, but God knows what you're going through. God knows the challenges you face, whether it's with a loved one, whether it's a challenge on your job, whether it's a challenge in your physical life. God knows what you're going through, and God will meet you where you are. And no matter how difficult it's been, when you look back over your life and you see that even though you've gone through some trials and tribulations, some ups and downs, you're still here. I'm going to pause right there. You're still here. And you're on this line tonight, and you're being ministered to by the Holy Spirit, that God knew that you needed to hear that he's with you. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He will never turn his back on you. He'll never look down on you. He'll never stop loving you. And that's what's so awesome about God is when we as believers get together and understand that there's nothing, and this next verse, it talks about in verse 7, it talks about they were amazed. It's amazing. Look at verse 7. It says, and they were all amazed and marveled. Acts 2, verse 7. It's amazing how well God can keep us. It's amazing that when you've had a loved one pass on, when you have someone you're dealing with sick, when you're being a caregiver, it's amazing that even in your most difficult time, and I know all of us have some difficult times, God will change the way we receive it. And in other words, it will go from being a half empty to a half full and allow us to be able to get through that moment. And that's how I get through it. I ask God through the power of His Spirit to help me get through that moment. Don't let me be look like I'm sucking on lemon. Help me to get through it like I know God is with me.
That's right.
And I might be crying, I might be hurt, but I have history, and like you said, Sheila G, pull on your past victories to know that even this, I can get through it. And it's amazing when you look back over your life, and verse 7, Acts 2, verse 7, and they were all amazed and marveled. In other words, God is an amazing God. God will do things with you and through you and for you and with your family that will cause you to be amazed and say, God, I didn't know how I was going to make it. I didn't know how I was going to get through. I didn't know that I could even make it through tomorrow. I didn't know that even in the midnight hour, nobody even knew what was going on, that you would come in and that you would comfort me and that you would calm me and that you would give me a peace, even though the struggle is still there. But you would allow me to be able to make it through. And that's what is amazing, is that the Holy Spirit will go beyond what our minds and could even imagine that he would do. Sheila G.
Amen. Amen. As you were saying, that is, I was just thinking about in 2018 when I kept getting sick and I couldn't know why. But even though I was getting sick and constantly being rushed back to the hospital, I still had the peace of the Lord with me because I knew he was there with me. So I wasn't feeling well, and I didn't know if I was going to feel better the next day. I didn't know if they were ever going to figure out what was wrong with me. But because I stayed in the Word, because I kept reading that scripture, because I kept going to church, I just was able to get through, even though physically I was, it wasn't working for me.
Mm-hmm.
But my spirit, I had that peace of mind that God was right there with me. So even if he did take me home, it was going to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing. I think so often we don't look at how amazing God is and how powerful his spirit is, and we end up wasting that time worrying over things that we can't control.
Amen.
Because at the end of the day, we don't know. So since we don't
mm-hmm.
know, then we really may as well just put it in God's hands so that we won't stress about things that we can't control.
Amen.
Amen. Dr. G?
Well, you know, when you all were talking about how amazing God is, and really, when you go back and you start from the beginning, I mean, it's amazing how he created the world and then knew what he wanted and how he put everything in place. And then even with the creation of man, and although things didn't work out the way that he wanted, it's still amazing as to how he provides. He made provision for us to escape
mm-hmm.
the flame. And then when you fast forward to the birth of Christ, it was amazing how the whole
yeah.
incarnation, the whole birth
mm-hmm.
of how it all came to be. You know, I talked about that on Christmas, of how he selected a virgin and how he sent the angel down to talk to Joseph. Everything
mm-hmm.
that he is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole thing about all of that, as you've already said, with what we go through in life, yes, it's amazing how we can get over, but the key is we have to choose to accept what he is offering. Either we accept it or we reject it.
Amen.
Amen. And so we go back to that verse 7, in Acts 2, verse 7, it says, they were all amazed, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? In other words, the situation, and just want to give clarity to the situation, is there's a certain feast the Jews observed, and they all had to come to that one place in Jerusalem one time a year. And there were different tongues, different nationalities. And what happened here was that every tongue, every like, let me give it modern day, people that speak Russian, people that speak German, people that speak Japanese, people that speak Korean, people that speak different languages, Spanish, whatever language it was, they were able to hear their language by people that didn't speak. In other words, if I'm American, I was able to speak Russian. If I'm American, I was able to speak Japanese. I was able to speak Korean. In other words, the amazing thing was they knew these people were Galileans, but these Galileans, or these people, disciples of Jesus, they were able to speak to people of different nations in their own tongues. In other words, they didn't need to take a class in how to speak, you know, Spanish, but the Holy Spirit, good God Almighty, the Holy Spirit was able to speak through these people the good news of Jesus so that they heard it in their own tongue. And that was amazing. Amazing
mm-hmm.
that God did the impossible through the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's what's so awesome about having this relationship with God, is that every day we can see God do the impossible.
Amen.
I always look at, you know, people and families, and every family has a testimony of the miracles that God has done. I know we have several miracles in our family, Sheila Chi, and it's just amazing to see God work in the midst of what seems like impossible to bring about a change that would glorify him.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, and we actually see those miracles every single day. And I mean, and sometimes they're big ones, and sometimes it's just the fact that we wake up every day.
That's right.
I mean, there's nothing that we do
mm-hmm.
that causes our body to sleep and get up, our heart that... Even looking at childbirth itself, the way that a child is developed,
Amen.
and it just knows somehow it's time mm-hmm. to come out. that's just miraculous. The fact that we can sit up and, you know, having a child with a disability that they weren't, that wasn't supposed to be able to walk. I learned so many things that I took for granted, putting one foot in front of the other. I remember at 3.5, I was trying to teach her, this is how you know the difference between, you know, how we have to meet our children where they are. And you know how when the kids are little, you teach them how to walk around on their tippy toes? So I took for granted that Jessica would know how to walk on her tippy toes. So I was like, well, let's go tiptoe over and, like, scare Daddy or something. And she kept lifting her shoulders up, and she was trying to imitate me, but she could not stand on her toes. And she's never been able to stand on her toes, but she walks. But, I mean, those are, like, little miracles, something, the fact that we can point our toe and stand on our feet and walk, you know, or anything we can do. Those are miracles of God. Those are things that we do. You know, even when you think about when you go to the doctor and they hit that thing on your knee and your reflex pops up, and you flip, that's a miracle. That's, I mean, how did God connect the brain to those nerves to say that if you point, your leg's going to fly up?
Amen.
And there's nothing you mentally can do about it. Those are miracles. And they're marvelous. And those are things that we need to acknowledge God for.
Hello.
Amen. Amen. That's how I start off the last 2 months. I start off my sermons. The situation and the circumstance. And the situation is that I woke up this morning, and the circumstances, I woke up in the day that God has made.
Amen.
I woke up in the day that God has made, and so what should I do? I should rejoice and be glad in it. If I don't do anything else,
that's right.
He woke me up. That's the situation, and that's the circumstance. This is the day he has made, and I shall and I will rejoice and be glad in it. And that supersedes any situation or circumstance that comes after that. Let's continue in verse 8, Acts 2, verse 8. It says, "And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born?" And it goes through the different nationalities that were there. Perithians is verse 9, Medes and Elamites, and the dwellers in Mesopotamia, and in Judea, Cappadocia, and in Pontus, and Asia, in verse 10, in Persia, and Pamphylia, in Egypt, in the parts of Libya, about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews, and proselytes. Verse 11, Cretes and Arabians, who do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. Now, I don't know if I pronounced all those names right, but to me, that is the challenge being met. And if we don't take anything from this Bible study tonight, is that through the power of God, any challenge that comes to us can be met. And you know, all of us has challenge, but with the power of God, you can meet that challenge. And so here was a challenge for the first century church to spread the gospel to all nations. God presented them with the ability, the ability to be able to meet that challenge, to hear what it says in that verse 11, the wonderful works of God. If we can stay focused on presenting through the power of the Holy Spirit the wonderful works of God, any nation and any challenge can be handled.
Amen. As you were reading all the different nations that were represented there and how they were all on one accord, I was thinking to myself, when you said the wonderful works of God, the phrase that came to my mind, let everything that have breath praise the Lord. Because it's like everybody, everything that had breath, regardless of their nationality, praise the Lord. And if you praise God, that's when all the blessings come down. That's where you see the wonder. That's where your eyes are open, because the wonderful works of God are all around us.
Yes.
But a lot of times people don't see them, and they don't tap into it, like we said before. But if you give him praise and you give him honor, then your eyes are opened to see the wonderful works of God. So let everything that has breath praise the Lord.
Amen. The wonderful works of God. I want to rest on that before we go to the phone line. The the wonderful works of God. When you wake up in the morning, you've experienced, he said, new mercies, Dr. G, new mercies and benefits. He said, don't forget about his benefits, the wonderful works of God. And when people in all these nations realize how much God loves them and understand his wonderful works, then all of these people can begin to be as one on one accord, like you said, Sheila G, let everything that has breath. And so, Dr. G, the wonderful works of God, the wonderful works of God, there's not enough time in the day for us to be able to talk and share about the wonderful works of God. And when I was reading this, studying this, this really stood out. I've read it before, but it really didn't stand out like it did when I was studying this, the wonderful works of God. Who can number the wonderful works of God? In other words, God has blessed every nation under his heaven with his wonderful works. So in other words, the heavens declare the glory of God, and he shows his handiwork. He reveals it to everyone. And if we would just simply be unselfish and simply continue to do his work, continue to rely on the Holy Spirit, we could be able to turn this world upside down by being obedient and presenting the wonderful works of God. Dr. G?
Well, you know, you're right. When you talk about the wonderful works of God, I've gotten to the point that every day, before I get going again, you know, I wake up, I might have a few pains, a few aches, but even in the midst of that, you've still got to give God the praise. You've got to think about it. You know, as you said, it's a miracle that we wake up every day. It's a miracle that we're able to breathe and to open our eyes. It's a miracle that we're able to get up out the bed, get ready for work, and it's a miracle that we've got jobs. In the midst of everything that's going on in this country, with that crazy man down on Capitol Hill talking and doing the junk, that it is still a miracle. So we, you know, it's amazing that God can still give us peace in the midst of everything that is going on.
That's right,
and it shows us that even with this government shutdown, God is still how amazing he is.
That's right.
Because he's allowing people, and the things that they're doing under the power of the Holy Spirit. One restaurant downtown, giving people who have been on furlough free meals. Yeah. I mean, it's a lot of little different things like that where people have stepped up to the plate. And that is nobody but the works of God.
Amen.
Yes. Yes. We're going to go to the phone lines. We're going to ask people tonight, tell me about the wonderful works of God in your life. And I know we don't have enough time, but just briefly, talk about the wonderful works of God in your life. We're going to go to the phone lines. We're going to call the last four digits of your phone number is 1741. 1741, you're on the air.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
I praise God and I thank him for the wonderful works that he has done in my life and he's continued to do. And I just praise God just to be able to wake up every morning and I don't take it for granted because I know it's by his mercies that he just give me another new day. And I praise God that He allowed me to seek him more and more every day. And one of the things starting out the new year that he allowed me to do was to seek spiritual guidance and counselor. And he started me off with Song 1 and then the 23rd Psalm and also Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. And these are the things that he allowed me to go through to start my day off with him, with the Holy Spirit, asking the Holy Spirit to lead me and to guide me. And so when I seek God first and seek his will and his purpose, then he can get the glory. I can do what he want me to do, and he can get the glory. And so I thank God because even though we know these things, we still need to go back and, as a refresher, as a renewing, you know, and put it back in our spirit and continue to build on it daily so that we will get stronger and stronger in the Word, and our prayer life will be more effective. Our relationship with God will be more effective. And I'm going to say this and then I'm going to quit. But through this, God showed me that in order to have a fellowship with Him, I have to have a relationship with Him.
Amen.
Your relationship is only as close as you know Him and know His Word and allow the Holy Spirit to work in His life. So I thank God that He allowed me to want and desire a closer relationship with the Holy Spirit and let the Holy Spirit take full control of my life. So I thank God for this, and I'm enjoying this teaching. I thank God I'm enjoying this teacher, and I pray that I'll be able to share it with all others for God's glory, not for mine, but for Him, and so that others will be helped. So I thank God for this opportunity. I thank God for you all.
God bless you.
Bless your heart.
Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. We're going to go to the next caller. The last four digits of the phone number is 1285. 1285, you're on there.
My God, thank the Lord. Praise God. This is my first night being on the line, and I'm just enjoying it. I thank and I praise the Lord for the marvelous things He's done in my life just by getting my attention. I fell into a world of drugs, alcohol, and cigarettes, and He delivered me from those. I'm 6.5 years clean now, and I just want to thank and praise the Lord that, you know, as I started drifting away, I was belonged to another church. The church door was closed on the 31st of December, 2018, and He led me to new birth. And I thank and I praise the Lord now that I can say that I'm connected again, that I can find out what it is that He has for me to do in these last and final days. Because truly, truly, I know that the rest of my life belongs to serving Him. I just want to thank and praise the Lord. I'll keep you all lifted in prayer because I am enjoying this. I just want to be connected. I can't say that I know anything much about the Holy Spirit, but I'm willing to learn. Pray my God and the Lord, I do the same for you.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you for your comment tonight. We go to the next caller. We wanted to just tell us about the wonderful works of God in your life. Thank God for your testimonies tonight. We go to the next caller. Last four digits, your phone number 3343. 3343, you're on air.
Good morning. Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
Good morning. But I like to say good morning, but oh, good Lord. I every time you know, I come for a long time, and then God gave me a chance to look back at my life and starting off at 2 years old. And you know, wake up the next morning, and you could slept on where I was going, you know. But I was able to put my foot on the floor, and I said to myself, "Hey, I made it this morning."
That's right.
And that's so good because you could be gone because I got so many that's gone, and it gave me a chance to look back at my life when I was 2 years old. That's a long time. Where I'm at now, it's a long time, and the years are going by fast.
Yeah.
And I'm so thankful that I ain't gonna keep on going and so forth because I got so much to say, but I'll keep quiet and saying that I'm going every day. I didn't know about the Holy Spirit. I did not know about the Holy Spirit. I heard about it. I heard people talk about it, but I have run across it, and I got a chance to feel it and feel what it feels like, and I'm staying with my book on my road, my journey. And if I got to go the next morning, I don't wake up the next morning, but I got the chance to look back at what I did see. And I'm saying, thank you, Father, for giving me a chance to look back at my life.
Amen.
And that's
Amen.
The Holy Spirit I have seen whole life. And I will enjoy wherever I'm going or how I am going or when I go. I have enjoyed my life. And I'm enjoying it as I'm doing it right now. Enjoying the conversation that we're having today. I'm learning and I'm still being taught about it. Thank you every day. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you for your comment tonight. We're going to go to the next caller. Last four digits of phone number 6202. 6202, you're on the air.
Thank you. Praise the Lord. I'm really grateful to be on the line tonight. This is my first time being a part of the Bible class, and I truly enjoyed it, and I'm just so grateful. I was diagnosed with breast cancer in 2013, and I believe that the Lord, you know, would do the work, you know, his wonderful, mighty work. And I thank and praise the Lord that when you're rooted and grounded in the Lord will reveal things to you. And when I got the diagnosis, the next three nights, you know, I went to sleep and I woke up three mornings in a row and it was just playing in my head, you haven't seen your best days yet.
Wow, right.
Yet to come. And all I could say was, thank you, Jesus. And, you know, I thank and praise the Lord. You know, I got diagnosed a second time in 2014 with a new cancer, breast cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I thank and praise the Lord, the same one that healed me from the first one delivered me from the second one. And, you know, God is a mighty God. He is a mighty God. And, you know, I just thank and praise the Lord. You know, there are so many things that the Lord has done for me. Even up this year, on December 26th, the day after Christmas, I had left the house, and I was just going to the grocery store and coming back. And as I was driving down one side of the street, an elderly woman was driving up the other side of the street.
Mm.
And she came across the line, and I aborted the head-on collision, but she sideswiped me and tore the whole side of my car off. And, you know, the car is totaled, but I'm still here.
All right.
And I'm just thanking praise the Lord for keeping me, you know, for keeping me.
Amen.
I did not leave the house without, you know, anointing myself before I leave and saying a word of prayer and praying over, you know, my family. And my daughter came to the scene of the accident. And, you know, after she saw, like, all of the damage, all of the debris all over the place, you know, I'm sure her heart got heavy. And she said, Mommy, I can't lose you. But, you know, I thank and praise the Lord. I use that as an opportunity, you know, to say, you know, if the Lord had decided to take me, you
That's
know,
right.
if my heart was right, it was okay.
That's
you know,
right.
and you would be okay. And I said, this is why it's so important that you don't have any ill will towards anybody when you leave out of the house. Because
Amen.
You're not going to need to walk back through those doors. And, you know, I just thank and praise the Lord for just making a way. And both me and my husband are federal employees. So we both were for furloughed. But, you know, I think, praise the Lord will still send people along to encourage you. You know, and getting checks in the mail that we weren't expecting. A $70.
Come on,
$50
Jesus. Come on.
$42
The wonderful
You know,
word.
Something to encourage you. It's not going to pay the mortgage. But it's going to help. The Lord is letting us know He is our provider, and He's already got it all worked out for
That's
us.
Right.
So I'm just truly thankful and blessed, and I just thank you for the opportunity to share.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. We're going to go to the next caller. Last four digits 7971. 7971. You are on the air.
Good evening, everyone.
Good
evening. And good blessings to all. I could be here all night and all day and the rest of my life talking about the wonderful works of God, and especially in my life and in my family, in my church, with my neighbors, with my friends, and the fact that my Father, who art in heaven, gave me a good heart.
Amen.
A loving heart, and I wouldn't change it for nobody. He has been so good to me in my 70, soon will be in a few days, 78 years of my life.
Praise God.
I have been blessed by my Heavenly Father and the wonderful works that
wonderful
I know
works.
It's only He.
That's right.
Only He. Could have done. The people that He has placed in my life, my church soon will be 15 years.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
From day one.
Amen.
That my pastor came to me, and I promised him. I said, this is the last church that I will ever go to. And if it's nobody then but you and I, I'll be there.
All right.
Amen.
Why? Because my Heavenly Father promised me he loved me. He would be with me until the end of time. And he has been there for me.
Yes, he has.
In such a way, I can't even describe it, because when God does something in your life, you can't describe it. You try to explain it, but it's so overwhelming. It's so magnificent. You don't give it justification trying to tell somebody about who he is to you, what he means to you, and how great he is and what he does for not only me, because he made every creature on this earth. And it's amazing. Last week, I was talking about the man in my garage, and I explained to him about God creating us. He knows every language, and here he's justifying it. We just studied it tonight, the different languages that are out there in this world today. He knows them all. Why? Because he has power over all. Over all. He knows all. He sees all. And he does all. If you give him the love that he gives you, and you share it with somebody else.
Amen.
God is so good to me. I tell people all the time, I don't want nothing. I don't need nothing. And he has blessed me that I shouldn't even think on wanting something or needing something. He has provided all of that.
Yes, he
to
has.
Me. To me.
Yes, he has.
I was telling my daughter for Christmas, I'm not buying any gifts. It's not about that. I said, what do I need? Look at here. I don't have any room enough to put nothing. But it's going out of here.
Amen.
It's got to go. And we have to thank him for what he's already done.
There you go.
He is so wonderful. We serve a wonderful God.
If we did.
Trust him and believe him and love him like he loves us and love somebody else. I don't even like to say that I've been this and I've been that and I've been the other, because I know it happened for a reason.
Amen.
And each time, as the kids say, it gets better and better every time. He's so good. He is so good. And when things get kind of next to me, I have a pastor that I can go to that can soothe me better than anybody. And I thank God for him, and I tell him to his face. Like my father, my husband said, don't talk to me after I'm dead. Talk to me now. And that's what you all do for me. And every Thursday night, I broke up these steps because I was a little late because my little nephew came to fix the computer. I said, what time is it? They said, 60 minutes after. I said, I got to go. Y'all go and do what you got to do. I got to go to Bible study. I hit the steps, closed the door, and here I am. That's
Amen.
What it means to me. I don't
Amen.
Want to miss nothing. I feel the same way about morning meditation. We had church. Didn't we have it, Reverend Lindsay? We had a wonderful time in the Lord. 6 o'clock in the morning.
Amen.
And my scripture that was pounding on my heart, and this about what's going on with our White House and our president, is not of God, But sometimes we have to, when we look at the spiritual eye, he tells, he allows adversities to let us see what the devil can do and create. And it prepares us to not, to give into it, but lean more towards the Holy Spirit and God to lead us. And Pastor, you remember when you taught us, it's not going to get any better. It's going to get worse. But we as Christians shouldn't worry, because we know what the end is going to be.
Amen.
We should not worry. We should lean closer to God. And
that's
just
right.
In the Daily Bread this week, it spoke of an alternative to worry. And God's scripture in Matthew 6:25-34 says,
that's right.
Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life?
That's right.
Can we? Those are God's
can't
words.
Do it.
We can't do it. And when you get down and out and you just want to throw up your hand, turn to Jesus. And I do it every time, and he soothes me like nobody else does. Can't nobody do me like Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you what I know. I'm not just talking on this telephone. I'm not just talking just to hear myself talk. I'm telling you what is for real, for real. He's real in my soul. He is real in my life. And I pass it on to anybody and everybody that I know, because he's the only one can flip the switch and make it all right in your life. I'm a living testimony. I just can't start to begin to tell you the things that he has done in my life. In my life. There's two things in my life. My child, the birth of my child, when I looked at that flesh that God created, everything in place. The other day, that was a happy moment. But the devastating thing was the loss of my husband. And didn't he turn it around? Didn't he turn it around? If you don't believe in the Holy Spirit, you don't know Jesus. You don't know the Lord I serve. He has given me the strength that I never thought I had.
Yes, he will.
The loss of my husband was devastating. And I can say this. My pastor was by my side from the beginning to the end. And my husband was a strong-willed man. And I never forget when we went to his ordination. My husband looked at me and said, that man, that boy, is all right. He said, he knows God's word. He is the only living soul that came in this house and ministered to him. And he told me, I know where he came from. He's a child of God. Good DNA. And he will see me through this. And my pastor did. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. Now, if you want to get me stirred up, say something about my pastor. I will straighten you up in a heartbeat.
That's your heart.
He's been there for me, y'all. I ain't going to lie to you. No matter how bad the situation might be, when he finishes with you spiritually, you know that it's going to be all right.
Amen.
And that's why I can truly say that we, as a people, if we serve him, if we love him, and if we listen to if we live by 2 Chronicles 7:14, this world would be a better world to live in.
Amen.
Amen.
Don't hide your love for one another. Give your love, give your heart the same way God gives it to us. He doesn't discriminate. It's there for all of us. And he loves us more than we ever would know. But you got to reach out and read his word and live his word. And I'm telling you, you won't regret it. You won't
Amen.
Regret it. Pastor Kason and Pastor Gregory, First Lady Gregory, you are my friend.
Bless you.
Amen.
And I love you more than life can
Amen.
Say.
Bless
love
you. Amen.
And all of you on this line, keep doing what you're doing for the Lord. You will never regret it because
Amen.
He's true to his word, every word in this word. He'll make you a believer. Trust him. Have the faith, and he'll do the rest. I thank you all, and I love you all.
God bless you.
Amen.
God bless,
God bless you,
you.
Thank you for your comments tonight. We love you, too. Dr. G, that's our time tonight. You want to give us some final comments and close that in prayer, please, sir?
Sure, Bill. I think one of the callers were talking about our relationship, and I was sitting here just thinking of, you know, we talk about how truly amazing God is and how he can take us even in our sinful natures and through the power of the Holy Spirit change us into what we ought to be. And if we are serious about our walk with Christ, I spoke on Sunday with New Birth. I challenged everybody, you know, if they're serious, if you're serious about drawing closer to the Lord, well, then it starts within you. And I told them, you know, talk is cheap. It's time to put up or shut up. You know,
all right.
It's about taking that relationship and drawing closer, because we'll find that even when we're doing that, yes, we're going to have tragedies, we're going to have situations in our life, but God uses those things to help us draw closer to the point where we can't lean on our own, but we have to learn how to lean on him. So with that, we're going to ask everyone just to bow their heads. Eternal God, our Father, we thank you, Lord, for just another evening that we could gather together on this Bible study line. Lord, I thank you for the callers that have called in, and we thank you for their words of encouragement. We thank you for their testimonies. And truly, oh God, you are an amazing God from the very beginning to now. Father, we glorify you. And, Lord, we're thankful that we're getting ready to celebrate 15 years with the Heart of God. And Pastor
Hallelujah.
That in itself, oh God, is an amazement. And, Father, we thank you for Pastor Kason's steadfastness. We thank you for all that he does to continue to follow you. Father, we thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit in leading us, guiding us, and just letting us know that it's going to be all right. Lord, we pray right now that if it is your will that we lay down tonight and we awaken on tomorrow, that, Lord, your will can be done. And, Father, we claim it all right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right, that's going to do it for us tonight. Prayerfully, we'll see you on next Thursday night. Good night.
Good night.